Welcome to Within WordPress, the podcast about the WordPress community and all the fine folks that make up that wonderful community. Today with us is all the way from South Africa, Mr. Jonathan, and I do help me pronounce your last name correctly, like in the South African accent, please.
Bossinger.
Bossinger. Welcome, Jonathan. I know you. A lot of folks know you. But for those who don't know you, please introduce yourself.
Sure. And thank you. Thank you for introducing me and thank you for having me. As Remco said, my name is Jonathan Bossinger. I live in the most southernmost city in South Africa, Cape Town. I have lived here my entire life. So I'm a born and bred Capetonian. I'm also a software developer by trade, historically, if you will, with a big passion for open source and how open source can just, you know, change lives and change people's careers. And I currently, the current phase of my sort of progression, if you will, is that I am a developer educator. So I moved from the world of creating software to the world of teaching others how to create software. I'm currently employed at Automattic and I'm sponsored to work with the WordPress training team.
The WordPress training team. That's a relatively new team, isn't it?
So I'm going to say yes and no.
Yeah. And I think I know the answer to why the no, but please do explain.
Sure. So the training team has been around for a number of years. I think it goes back as far as, I want to say 2013, maybe even further back than that.
I know we spoke but it about wasn't, WordCamp Europe, the first.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It wasn't a very, I want to say, well-known team. I did a little bit of research when I first joined the team about when the learn.wordpress.org subdomain was first sort of registered. And I think that was around 2011, 2012, 2013. And so the team that evolved around that sort of started at the same time. But it wasn't until the wonderful year that was 2020 hit us. And as a community, we realized that we needed somewhere to gather because we couldn't gather in person anymore. We needed somewhere to host workshops and have sessions like we used to have at meetups and WordCamps. And I think Matt, being our BDFL, for better or for worse, he pointed to the training team and to Learn WordPress and said, hey, we should be doing something there. And so that's kind of where it really all kicked off and became a more known entity. At the time, the training team, there were a number of contributors that were already working there. Courtney Robinson, Ruba Arme, just to name a few. They were creating lesson plans and tutorials and things like that. But when the pandemic happened, sort of a lot more people started getting involved and it kind of became the platform more or less that we have today. And the team sort of became more or less what we have today.
Yeah. So I think the 2020 thing certainly kicked off a lot of different types of things. And this is one I really enjoy. As I mentioned right before we started recording, the amount of times that in my newsletter, and for those listening, I have a Within WordPress newsletter as well. Goes out every week on Friday. And I increasingly am able to highlight new sections on the developer resources. That's because a lot of work has been done to improve it, make it more readable, make it more easier to navigate through. And as I was saying to you, the ability or the opportunity to be able to do that for anything shared on Learn is what I'm really looking forward to. And I know that's high on your priority list, but I'd love to deep dive right away into that one. Like, what is the future of learn.wordpress.org? What are we going to see in this beautiful 2024 year?
Right. So the timing of your question is very important because early last year, and so to just take a what if you just give me a moment and I'll just take a step back.
Yeah, please do.
Because of what happened in the pandemic, everything was very rapidly developed and put together and folks were recording things and doing things. And so there wasn't a lot of structure. There wasn't a lot of planning. It was, we need to do a thing. Let's do a thing, as often things are in the WordPress community. And then as this thing that we were doing, and I was slightly involved in the very first versions of Learn WordPress, I take a little bit of, what's the opposite of humble? I'm proud. That's the one we've got. I take a little bit of pride in the fact that I was one of the first developer-focused workshops that was hosted on Learn WordPress back during the pandemic. And at the time, it was very random. There were no rules. We could put together whatever we wanted to as long as it followed, you know, typical WordPress guidelines. And so it started becoming popular and people started using some of these resources and we started doing workshops and tutorials on new features and new releases and various things like that. But we realized that we weren't really serving the needs of the users. We were just putting up this content, doing workshops, doing tutorials, creating lesson plans. But what are users actually wanting? And so, indeed, if you're running a web agency, it's one of the first questions you should be asking. And so it's funny that it took us so long to get there. But we realized that we needed to do this research. So towards the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, there was a learner survey that was put out. It was sent to as many people in the community as we could, using Learn WordPress to find out what's working, what's not working, what content do they like, what content do they find useful, and what are we not doing that they would like us to be doing. And one of the biggest words, titles, phrases, concepts that came out of that survey was structured learning pathways. Structured learning pathways that have a more goal-orientated outcome. So not just a video on, for example, these are action hooks and this is how you use them, you know, a video version of documentation, but how do you actually use them? And how might you use them to build something useful?
These are the scenarios. This is the tool.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I come from a non-WordPress background. I came to WordPress through a more traditional web dev background. And there was a platform I stumbled across a number of years ago called LaraCosts, which is a Laravel development learning platform. And that was very much like what people were asking for. So if you've ever watched the LaraCosts, I recommend it to anybody who wants to just watch some really good educational content. But I can't remember the chap's name, but he takes you through from A to B. And I think the first thing you're building is something practical, like a blog, ironically. But he uses the outcome-based learning to teach you how to use the software.
Yeah,
it's not just theoretical, and it's very structured. You start over here, you go to step A, step B, step D, and you go through to an end result. And so that is the big focus for 2024 for the training team and for Learn WordPress. Mm-hmm. We want to have very specific user learning pathways, designer learning pathways, developer learning pathways, so that ideally any type of individual coming into the WordPress community, being somebody brand new to WordPress and wanting to know how to use it, being somebody comfortable with WordPress and wanting to go a little bit further, mm-hmm. being somebody who can manage a WordPress site and now wants to start learning development, they can pick their path, they can follow their path, they can skip over the things that they might already know and focus on the things that they want to learn, and ultimately get real-world examples and real-world implementations of what is sitting in the developer documentation or the user documentation or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that's an ambitious but also a very lofty goal.
Indeed.
So does the YouTube channel, for instance, because the first question I have is if you've done like a survey, like what is the need? Has there been any specification into where the need lies in terms of how the information is presented? Because what I'm seeing, and in the previous podcast, I had Jamie Marsland on, I would say almost famous for his recreations in the site editor of sites and then publishing them on his YouTube channel. One of the things that's very, very clear is that there's a huge shift towards learning by video. And so my question then is back to how does the YouTube part of this play into the whole idea of what you just explained with the goal?
In a very big way. So we have actually, absolutely. So I want to, before I answer that question, I want to go off on a tangent. So you might have to remind me of this question when we get back, but I have tried as hard as I can to get Jamie to come and do some more training videos for us as part of the training team. He has taken some of his recreation videos and he has hosted them as tutorials on Learn WordPress. And those are the kind of videos that we are working towards. So something that you can see start to finish, how it fits together. Jamie's just very, very busy and I totally understand and respect that. But if I could somehow get him sponsored and just making videos for us, that would be amazing. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there in the world. If anybody wants to sponsor Jamie to make videos for the training team, let us know. Anyway, but yes, so the YouTube channel is something that we have identified as very much being part of Learning Pathways. You may know, and for those who don't know, in the past, we've hosted all our videos exclusively on WordPress TV.
Yeah.
which is nice because we own that platform. We own that content. We have control over it. If anything falls over tomorrow, we still have access to it.
Yep.
But in recent times, I can't give you exact timelines. The marketing team has set up an integration between WordPress TV and our YouTube channel to automatically push any new videos on WordPress TV to the YouTube channel.
Does that include registration?
To the best of my knowledge, yes. And so the goal there is to make those videos more accessible to our community through the channel. When I heard this news, one of the first things I asked was, yes, but what about the ads? And it turns out if we set the license to the Creative Commons license, no ads are displayed. So then we're not trying to sell products to users. They can just access it and view it and it's all good.
Because it'd be super easy to hijack that if you had any product, WordPress product you wanted to display an ad for on YouTube to say, you know, just focus on the .org account and yay.
Exactly. So we're very specifically, there's a sort of a specific vetting process to go through to be able to, I don't know the full details of it, but the video gets pushed to YouTube and then it stays in a private status. And then somebody has to come along and set the right settings, set the right license before it's made public on the YouTube channel. And then for our learning pathways, instead of embedding the WordPress TV video, which is what we used to do for tutorials, we are embedding the YouTube video. The one reason for that is it makes easier for folks to share that video with others.
Yep.
The other reason is YouTube makes it way easier to enable chapters. So if I have a video with multiple bits of information, but somebody just needs one section, we can create those chapters and they can just jump to that section.
Yep.
And then also just, you know, generally YouTube is the platform where most folks are going to learn online. That was another thing that we got from our user survey was, the question was, where do you go to learn about WordPress online? And the answer was YouTube. So that's another reason why we're tapping into that resource.
I think typically the folks that use YouTube primarily are, at least from my perspective, I'm 50, so almost everybody's young to me. But let's just say the crowd, like if I look at my kids, they're 17, 23, 25, YouTube. Like there's not even a question of where should I even go to Google or Brave search or whatever. They all have Brave as their default browser. But it's on YouTube is such a dominant fact for them. They don't even consider going anywhere else. Like it's not even coming across. Like, is it possibly that if I can't find it on YouTube, that it might be somewhere else? They don't even, like, it is there. Like the stuff they're interested in, it is right there. So I'm very, very happy to hear that push between WordPress.tv and the channel is actually there. Because I, for the longest time, have wondered why that didn't happen. Like, you can create that silo and you have full control, sure, and you probably should. But, you know, there's reach. There's, again, people my age, they will look for, where do I find this? Is there a video or this? And they will go to, but pretty much anybody younger than I will just hit YouTube and see if it's there.
Absolutely.
So much people sharing wonderful stuff at WordCamps, that is just a shame that's not being there for a larger audience.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And this is one of those areas, this is unrelated to learn, but this is one of those areas where, as somebody who has only been involved in the WordPress community since about 2016. I find some of the committee-based decisions that happen sometimes where some of the, using big air quotes now, older, I would say older, more experienced members of our community, those who have been around longer, tend to be very concerned, wary, insert your own adjective here, about using these platforms. Yeah. And I do understand that. I do understand their concerns. Ultimately, we are using WordPress because we believe in owning our own content.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with still owning your own content, but then publishing it to the popular platforms. And I feel like with this WordPress integration, with this WordPress TV integration, we're getting best of both.
Yeah.
It's still on WordPress TV. That is the primary place that it gets. You can't, for example, as a contributor to any kind of video content, you can't go and just upload it straight to YouTube. It has to go to WordPress TV first, and then it goes from there to YouTube, which to me is the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
It means we still own it. We still control it. If YouTube falls over tomorrow, which I don't think will happen, but if it ever did, then we pivot to the next platform and we push everything up there.
Yeah, I think that's, again, that's a super super great idea that that is being changed, because I'm with the old guard, where owning my data is the primary. It is the one motivation why I started in this work. Like,
yeah.
I had a friend of mine build my first website, didn't like it, needed to have something changed, had to pay for it again in full, because what I thought was a small change was a full rewrite. And it was on his server. I couldn't change anything. It was his proprietary. We're like, you know what? I appreciate what you've done for me. He is a friend. He was a friend. He still is a friend. But I'm going to own it from here on out. Moved it to Mumbo, then to Joomla, then to WordPress. But the whole idea of owning my own content for the same reason, like I have zero control over whether it's being moderated, blacklisted, shadow banned, all of those stuff, let alone deleted or account gone. We see them. We see those stories too many times still. So yeah, that motivation, I fully understand, and I don't think I'll ever change that inherent desire to always own my own stuff. So if you talk learning paths, can you give me an example of what you used to do and what you're going to do now? What is the big difference there? Because it's a relatively vague concept.
Sure. To do that, let me give you a quick breakdown of the three pieces of content we used to create for Learn WordPress.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you how we're pivoting to that. So actually, there were four pieces of content. The very first two that sort of came out were what we used to call, and the names have changed over time, but when I joined the training team, they were called social learning spaces. So they were hosted on meetup.com, usually through something like Zoom. Anybody who was on the meetup group could join and somebody would present a topic, just like as if you were going to a meetup and somebody was presenting a topic. Questions and answers afterwards, a very social environment, a very relaxed environment. That recently changed to, we call them online workshops. So similar concept. Then we have, we used to have what we call tutorials. Tutorials are single pieces of content, essentially a video version of documentation, but a little bit more, goal-oriented. So you might have a tutorial about how to create your first block using the Create Block plugin. Yep. Or you might have a tutorial on how to create your first post, or how to create your first page. Fairly simple, straightforward things. Videos under 10 minutes, because we all know that we have a short attention span. Hosted purely on WordPress CV and Learn WordPress, and sort of very specific. Then we had lesson plans. Those lesson plans were kind of the original pieces of content on Learn WordPress before the pandemic. Those were more like a traditional lesson plan for a teacher. So if you wanted to host a meetup, but you didn't have any good topics, or you didn't have any speakers, you could grab a lesson plan. It was a text version, and it would sort of be a teacher's notes version of a tutorial. So it would tell you the things that you would need to get together. You'll need a laptop, you'll need a screen, you'll need this code or this piece of information. You'll need a local development environment, whatever. It'll set up some typical questions you might get from folks and what the answers are. So it's more sort of teacher notes. And then it was usually linked to a tutorial. So you could then watch the tutorial and sort of prepare yourself to present this topic at a meetup. And then with all of that, we also had courses. So a course was more either text-based or video-based or a combination of both, but more a collection of lessons/tutorials, if you will. So courses are more in line with what we're moving towards now with learning pathways. And if you've ever done any of things like the deputy training or the incident response training, those courses were all hosted on Learn WordPress.
I did them before they were courses.
There you go. So now we're pivoting and we're still retaining those formats. We are more or less moving away from having lesson plans as a separate piece of content. We're moving away from having tutorials as a separate piece of content. We're going to be having courses, and courses will form part of a learning pathway. So let me give you an example. I'm busy currently because my focus is on the developer. I'm busy working on the beginner developer learning path.
Yep.
So I did a bit of research and gathered some feedback from the community as to, and the sort of frame that I gave them was, is if you could send somebody to a WordPress university and they were doing a three-year degree or a three-year diploma in WordPress development, what would they need to learn at year one? What would they need to learn at year two? And what would they need to learn at year three?
Yep.
So year one is the beginner developer learning pathway. It is made up of a series of courses. So the first course is going super basic, What is a web server? How does a web server even work? What is PHP? What is HTML? What is CSS? What is JavaScript? What is MySQL? How those pieces fit together, what it looks like, and then building up from there. And then each course is made up of a lesson. A lesson contains a video part, which is like the old tutorials used to be.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is that they are part of a course, so they are slightly connected, so I can refer to a lesson in the same module or the same course. But we also try to make them a bit more sort of standalone. So whatever the person is learning in that lesson, they could just watch that lesson, learn that piece of content, and not need anything else to have watched anything else. And those are for the folks that might just hit that lesson on YouTube, on the playlist or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that is the structure of how things are going to work. With that comes a redesign of Learn WordPress with a focus on those learning pathways.
Nice.
So when you hit Learn WordPress, if you go to learn.wordpress.org right now, you kind of have some, you know, tutorials and lesson plans and then a link to courses, and then there are the sort of guidance of where you should go.
Yep.
The goal is that when you hit Learn WordPress now, it'll say to you, are you brand new to WordPress? Start here. Are you experienced with WordPress, but you want to design a site? Start here. Are you a site designer and you want to develop? Start here. And it sends you off that path.
Like a wizard type thing, like where you fill out and based on the first answer, you get a second, like, are you a...
Something along those lines. I'm not directly involved in the design project. I think it's more of a sort of what are your interests? And then you'll click on a place and it'll say, do you know this, this, or this? Yes, then this is the pathway. If you don't, then this might be better for you. So more of less of a form and more of a guidance.
Yeah, I think that's a good start. But I think I've seen a few examples where the guidance, so you actually follow along through a form, gets hyper directed into, okay, this is exactly what I wanted to know. Now, cool. I like that. That's a big change, just from sort of kind of happenstance type of approach to, I'm not saying it was random at all, but, you know.
No, it was.
Well, I know. So I also know there's parts that are absolutely not random, but there was a lot of random stuff happening. But to hear, so what I find funny is that we're in the 21st year of WordPress being a thing, right? In not too long, it'll be 21. So this is not the case in the Netherlands, as far as I remember, also not in South Africa. But in the US, you are considered fully mature when you're 21. I like it that coincides with a much more mature developer resources site, as well as an upcoming Learn WordPress site. One might even argue that having those two available, and there's going to be a lot of interlinking, that is actually the thing that kickstarts the next wave of WordPress. In my mind, full disclosure, I'm building courses myself on various WordPress topics.
I know.
There you go. I know this to be a thing people are looking for, because I have a very specific thing, a type of knowledge that doesn't necessarily fit on learn.wordpress.org. Why? Because I work with premium products, because I'm assuming that's where the buck stops, like literally.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that means there's a whole array of topics that are just not going to be easy to cover. Just, I am curious though, how does that... Because in a way, it's a limitation, right? How do you decide what to cover and what not to cover? So certain plugins have a free version and a premium version. Do you possibly kind of cover, like for instance, Elementor? Do you cover it or do you not cover it? Because Elementor has one goal, is as soon as you're on the free version, to upgrade you to the pro version. The same as, for instance, Yoast SEO, the free version. Fine, and you can do everything you need to do with the free version, but there is an upsell to, let's get you onto the free the premium version. What is the is this something that has been? I'm sure it's been on the radar in some way, but is there a policy you're going to start using there? Because I'm quite curious about that.
Oh, before I answer, give me 1 second. I just need to do something.
Yep.
All right. So, one of the wonderful things about our community and about the training team specifically and about Learn WordPress is that the guidelines for the content that we create were defined well before the content was created, because we do have community guidelines. We do have a code of conduct. And so our trading team guidelines were defined probably before the pandemic, actually. I don't think it was defined when we started using the site. I think it was defined well before that.
Yep.
And those guidelines are along the same lines as the guidelines that are around being a speaker at a meetup, organizing a WordCamp,
yep,
any of those community-focused roles. So we are, of course, allowed to cover any functionality that exists within WordPress core. We are allowed to cover any plugins or themes that exist in the WordPress plugin directory or the theme directory.
Okay.
Let's use SEO as an example. If we choose to include a plugin like Yoast or any of the other SEO plugins, we do need to mention that this is one of many, and there are others, and these are their names, and this is where you can find them. And we also need to mention that this video is not an endorsement of one specific plugin. This is just... Yes, absolutely. And so that is a requirement in our guidelines process.
I like that.
And so typically when we get into a space, and I'm very lucky, I will say this up front, my focus is on the developer experience. So I'm never going to have to specifically recommend any plugins because everything I'm going to be teaching is about how to make it yourself anyway.
Yeah.
But when my colleagues and when my other training team members are creating content around SEO is a great example, forms is a great example, e-commerce is another great example. We will generally have a conversation. So we manage all of our content in our GitHub repository, and there is a process of suggesting which are the next lessons to be created. So the learning pathways have been set up, and we've got a structure for the lessons that we want to cover. And so when somebody wants to cover a specific lesson, there will be a discussion. I want to do a lesson on, as you say, custom fields. Can I use the advanced custom fields plugin? How do I do this? And then we will, as a team, there are members of the team that are part of what we call the training faculty. And they are listed as what we call subject matter experts. So we will typically have a subject matter expert on custom fields, for example. And that subject matter expert will say, well, all right, well, there's I can't remember them all, but there's advanced custom fields, there's tool set types, there's, you know, pods is another good example.
Yep.
So pick the one that you're comfortable with, show folks how it works, but also refer back to these other plugins, possibly show how they work, so that the folks that are learning this can make up their own mind about which ones they want to use.
I think for this particular example, the fact that we're going to have custom fields in part of the block editor is going to help that particular scenario a lot.
Indeed.
And I think I can even say that's going to be even more so going forward with all these interacting types of plugin that are sort of reinventing the wheel from plugin to plugin. There's going to be more of a layer that forces them to, okay, but this is the version we're having in core, so why don't you extend on that instead of reinventing the wheel?
Absolutely. I will also add that I want to give credit to my colleague. He works with me at Automattic. He's also a member of the training team, Wes Saron. He focuses on the user learning pathways, the user tutorials.
Yep.
And he did a great example of this recently. He did a tutorial a while ago on implementing a forms plugin into your site to set up different types of forms. And in that tutorial, for every type of form that he implemented, he used a different plugin. So he did a contact form with one form plugin. He did a request for information, I think it was, with another. He did another type of form with another plugin, really showcasing that, you know, you can do anything with these different plugins. And I thought that was really cool of him to do it that way.
I like that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So when you, very different question. So the learn.wordpress.org, that has your main focus. I see you do streams as well. Is that part of the learn thing, or is that just you?
And so it's a little bit of both. So because I'm as I mentioned previously, we used to have tutorials, lesson plans, courses, and workshops.
Yeah.
And the workshops are very beneficial because we can present information about hot new things that are coming to WordPress, things that are experimental. We can do more sort of live debugging, if you will, whatever the case may be. And so those were the online workshops that we used to run. And I really enjoy presenting workshops. I got into contributing to WordPress by speaking at meetups and WordCamps. I've always been somebody who enjoys mentoring and teaching others. And so my path to my current position is kind of along with that. And so I've always enjoyed hosting a workshop. And I used to do one every week. But hosting a workshop in the format of an online workshop takes quite a bit of work. You got to do quite a bit of research. You got to present slides. And so I originally started looking for a way to be able to host more workshops by doing less work, because I'm a developer. We love finding smart ways to do more work with less. And I came up with the idea of, and I used to do live streams before I became a developer educator at Automattic and with the training team. But that was more just sort of my fun thing. It was never about building an audience. I just liked the concept of sharing what I was doing. And so then I realized, well, if I do a live stream around the prep for an online workshop, then I can run that. I can share with folks how I prep so that, and again, this is about trying to get contributors in. You know, when you're part of a team, you're trying to get more folks to join you. So if I run live streams around the process of preparing workshops, people can see how I prepare workshops and perhaps present their own.
Yep.
Then we pivoted now to these learning pathways. And with the learning pathways project, we have a very specific deadline we're working towards. We're trying to get the redesign and the first, I think it's 3 or 4 learning pathways launched by middle of this year. So it's very much crunch time. Let's focus on these learning pathways. So I don't have a lot of time to present and prepare workshops. And then I had a conversation with somebody a while back, and they were saying that they're struggling to find contributors to work on the REST API. Everybody's working on the shiny new JavaScripty things and the block editor and the interactivity APIs, but all of those things rely on the REST API.
Yeah.
And the REST API is stagnating a little bit. They're not getting as many contributors there. And I thought, well, there we go. I can just run some live streams once a week, and I haven't contributed to WordPress in a number of years, but I'm sure I can still figure it out. And I can find some REST API related issues, and I can try and show folks that process and get folks who understand how to work in PHP and how to contribute to get involved.
Yep.
And so that's the current scope of my live streaming. Because I'm part of the training team, I can host them as online workshops, but I just point them to my Twitch stream instead of hosting a Zoom channel. And that gets me to upload them to WordPress TV and therefore get them onto YouTube. So that generates more activity on the YouTube channel. And I enjoy it. I enjoy live streaming. It's sometimes very nerve-wracking. Like this past week, I spent an hour getting absolutely nowhere until right at the end. And it was extremely frustrating. But yeah, you have your good days and you have your bad days.
In the live stream, you were getting nowhere.
So the goal of this week's live stream was to get Xdebug set up in the WordPress core local development environment.
On Windows?
On Mac OS. I spent half an hour struggling because I had the wrong information in front of me.
Yeah.
I then decided to try and pivot to using my own local development environment, which I know has Xdebug set up and working properly. And for some reason, I couldn't get that working. And it turns out I had misconfigured something previously while I was testing something else, hadn't reverted that change, and it caused all these issues. So by the end of the session, I hadn't achieved what I wanted to in that hour and a half. I then, the following day, with fresh eyes, went back to the WordPress core documentation, the README, discovered the answer. It's literally one thing that you need to do, and it works. And so that's what I'll be doing next week and going on from there.
RTFM, as always.
That's the one, indeed.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem with the live streams. Because I don't do any research, I tend to worry about doing too much reading of manuals while folks are watching me on the live stream. I worry that that might be boring. I realize now maybe that's worthwhile doing as well, and just putting that feeling aside.
The advantage of this is not only maybe not wasting an hour or 30 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever, but the advantage could also be is to instill in everybody watching that this is part of what it actually is. I had for our upcoming SaaS tool, Scanfully, which I'm co-developing with Buddy Coy, we had our stand-up this morning, and same kind of thing. He was showing me the amount of data he had to process to just build an OAuth version. Reading through it, I'm like, so what part do I need to read? Well, it's the part that you need. Like, great, that's not really helping. But understanding that in building and running into roadblocks, you actually do have to read the actual manual every now and then.
That's actually one of the best pieces of feedback that I constantly receive from folks attending the live stream is it's really cool to see that somebody who does know what they're doing can also get stuck and they need to sort of debug and they need to figure things out. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I keep doing the live streams.
So I guess in a way it's sort of rubber ducking, right? So my wife sits across me, does absolutely nothing with development whatsoever. Writes content in WordPress, is really good at it, and I can ask her feedback on that part, but vice versa, like if I'm building something, I'm stuck, I can't ask her, but I have the desire to talk to somebody because the rubber duck effect does work. So we've agreed that even though she doesn't understand what I'm about, she'll go ahead and I'll just tell her, and as I'm telling it, I should have read that, shouldn't I have? Yeah, okay, thank you. But the whole situation of understanding that there's always, if you don't know something, it's very hard to actually build something the way it's supposed to be built. Like I remember whatever version of PHP we had 20 years ago, but my first encounter with PHP, I didn't know what the thingies were called, like the in English, like the colon, semicolon, the
cross. Right.
I have no idea what to call them. So I was trying to find an answer to something, but I didn't know how to, like, how do I say that that's something that's going wrong? Like,
right.
And then somebody in Dutch sat next to me and said, oh, you mean those? Oh, is that what they're called? Right. Okay. Now I can Google for that. Now I can find
yes.
that matches what I now understand how to name it. So I'd say doing live streams of anything having to do with development, whether that's setting up an environment or finding the way to figure out where to extend and where to hook in, like those types of things, those are gold, man. I used to love watching people explain in great detail how they went about trying to figure out where to solve it, how to solve it. That was like an hour, and then 15 minutes was the actual building of the solution. Like that was nothing. But just where you needed to be and what exactly you need to do, where do you need to hook in, which filter do you use, and which one do you avoid because it loads on every page load, you know, that type of stuff. But it's great to hear that that's A, going good for you, and B, a very integral part of how Learn WordPress is improving. I like that. Mm. I like it a lot, actually. What is so you work within Automattic, you are sponsored by Automattic. You're employed by them and sponsored by them to work on WordPress.org. How much do you actually interact with the rest of Automattic? How does that work? I have no idea. Mm. Is that something you can share?
I'm pretty sure that I can share it. If I get fired tomorrow, so be it. No. So the Automattic sort of, there isn't really a separation within Automattic that I'm aware of. The folks who are sponsored to work on the WordPress project, we have our own division, we have our own teams, and we do interact with the other folks from Automattic. In fact, our last division meetup was ourselves and two other divisions from within the commercial side of Automattic. So we do interact with those folks. Something that Matt always talks about, and I'm going to put my hand up and say that I'm a fan of Matt. I know that, you know, some folks are not a fan of the situation. I am. I work for the company, so it kind of points to that.
Yep.
But ultimately, his goal is always, how do we make WordPress better for everybody? Mm-hmm. And then from a business point of view, that then benefits any business related to WordPress, and so therefore benefits Automattic. But he is still the CEO of our company. And so I had the opportunity to ask him recently, You know, what does he see as the most important thing that I should be doing as a sponsored contributor? And his answer essentially was, you should just be doing the best job you can at what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, it improves the content that WordPress is around the world have access to. It improves how they can learn how to use WordPress, how to work with WordPress, how to develop with WordPress.
Yep.
And so that's what your focus should be. So I am able to, what I like is I am able to reach out to automaticians who have experience in content creation and might be working on the commercial side, or are developers working for WordPress.com or WordPress VIP, and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Or I'm struggling with that. Can you help me? And that I really appreciate, because I have this wealth of WordPress information at my fingertips.
Yeah, you do. Because what is it, like 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 colleagues?
I think it's pushing on 1,900 at the moment. I think that was what Matt mentioned on the last Tim Ferriss podcast, around 1,900.
Good heavens.
I will say that I don't think all 1,900 are WordPress focused. There's been a couple of acquisitions recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, the total company is sitting around that.
They won.
Yes.
There's other stuff happening at Automattic as well. But
yeah,
that's a lot of colleagues. That's a lot of resources you can hook into.
Indeed. And I love it, because my job is to bring all of that information back to our community. I mean, that to me is just so cool. There is no limitation of who I can reach out to, who I can speak to and get that knowledge. Recently, I was having trouble with figuring something out, and I reached out to a number of teams. It was around security. And I had a member of the Jetpack security team come and review my content and give me feedback. And it was all public. It's all on the GitHub issue. But just to have somebody like that with that level of experience to come and give me that feedback so that I could then update my content and share that with our community is just magical.
Yeah, I would imagine, because I know quite a few folks working at Automattic, knowing what they can do and the stuff that they build on and all of that. To have those at your disposal to get the best out and to elevate the learnings of WordPress to the next level, that is a wonderful position to be in. And I think most people are not fully aware of that also happens, because you happen to be sponsored, which is wonderful on its own. But it's actually not just you that's being sponsored. It is the whole of Automattic. And touching on the outspoken being a fan of Matt and the company and the product that is WordPress that both companies share, I like that as well. Say what you want about the BDFL. And for those of you who don't know what that means, that stands for Benevolent Dictator for Life. Google it to fully understand what it means. But the idea behind it is Matt is essentially the one directing the project in whichever way he sees fit. And I agree with every single decision he makes? No, of course not. I'm assuming nobody does, because that's how the world works. But seeing where it goes, what stuff is being prioritized, how much is being contributed, I'm a big fan of that part. And I happen to like Day One as well. So, you know, I started using it as of this year. I also did.
Excellent.
I always did some scribbles here and there, but trying to get that in my workflow a little bit better, either
morning right.
or end of day. But yeah, so the benefits are much larger, which is my biggest takeaway from what you now. The benefit of you being sponsored by Automattic and employed, but the sponsored part is the important part, is way bigger than what we can actually see. Because you're out, the stuff that's being turned into video, into lessons, and into other stuff is based off of the knowledge of everybody. And isn't that what open source is about? I mean,
exactly.
That's what pulled me in. I wanted to own my data, and I happened to learn that open source is the model that works exclusively with that. I was like, how are we not all doing this? Why are we adding stuff in an Oracle database that only an Oracle engineer can actually tweak and do stuff?
Absolutely.
How does that work? Certainly now, fully understanding the open source side of things. But
I just want to, while we're chatting about Automattic, I want to touch on something that I find quite interesting. And this is a completely sort of separate tangent, but I have spoken to automaticians, colleagues within Automattic, sponsored to work on the WordPress project.
Mm-hmm.
who experience such negativity when people hear that they are sponsored by Automattic to do so.
Really?
I have never experienced that. And I said to one of my colleagues recently, I think part of the reason for that is that within South Africa, at least, the WordPress success story is WooCommerce.
Yeah.
Originally WooThemes, then WooCommerce,
yeah,
then acquired by Automattic. So when I walk into a room and I tell somebody I work at Automattic, it is a, wow, that's so cool moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have colleagues in the States specifically who have said they walk into a room and say they work at Automattic and they get sort of shunned. And I find that to be both interesting, but also a bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. More than a bit sad, I would say. Interesting. I can't find a thinking mode where that makes sense. Like I get the part where there's some sense of pride on the WooThemes / WooCommerce side of things. I think AD and Mark and Magnus did a wonderful job in building a brand. Then if 2/3 is from South Africa, that, you know, you have absolutely no say in how that happened, but sure, take that. I live on the legacy of my people, the Frisians, which go back 2,000 years. So, you know, not that I have any influence on it. I just happen to be born in this body, but hey, I'll take it. So I get taking credit for something that you really can't take credit for. But I get that there's a sense of pride and an admiration component that goes with it. But the other end, I really don't get. Does it happen often? Like, is it once or twice, or like?
I've spoken to a number of folks over the years who have expressed that it does happen. This is purely anecdotally, but I think it tends to be more in the US that it happens. And I think I'm of the opinion that part of it is that there were some folks in the early days that took it very personally that Matt launched a company to monetize WordPress. I think there are those folks out there who believe open source should always be open source and free, free as in money, not free as in Libra. I am not from that point of view. I come to WordPress via Laravel, and Taylor Otwell has made Laravel a commercial entity from day one. So I see that side of it. It is an interesting point of view.
I don't think the real talk, I don't think the open source version can exist in the way that it not even remotely exists currently without a commercial attribute. The most obvious one is hosting, obviously, because you're paying for hardware on a machine, and your time on that machine. I get that is an immediate commercial thing, but if you then you slightly expand it a little bit wider, that is a huge thing that in no way, shape, or form that could have been built without proper commercialization of whatever happens inside the WordPress project. I mean, my goal of this podcast is essentially to highlight all the various folks with what type of people do we see in the WordPress community? What type of services do they have? What type of products do they build? Those are the three things I highlight. I guess you're a little bit of a mix of two people and the product that you build in, but roughly I categorize them like such because I think it's the combination, and that means that the products and the services that go with it is 2/3. And without those, all you can have as people is very lofty goals and high aspirations of what you can do and how you can contribute. And I'll even go as far as saying this, that I think that all of government, all of any type of regulation should be primarily open source, fully transparent, radically transparent. That's how I view the world. And as soon as I say that, I understand that commercial points of views and advantages just disappear when you remove it. It's just not sustainable. I don't believe it is. The mix is perfectly sustainable. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think that's why we're up at, 43% now?
Last time I checked,
yeah. So in another way, that in my mind wouldn't have happened. So it's weird. It's really weird for me to hear that that's happening to automaticians with that sort of backdrop idea. Interesting. So for Learn, what is the and this is my last question, because there's so many things I'd like to understand of how Lauren works and where it's going, and I'm already thrilled with the answers you've given. But what is it with Lauren that specifically makes you a happy person? Like, what is your motivator? What is it? Marie Kondo says, what sparks you joy in this?
That's what's my joy, yes. So it's funny you mention that, because I can actually refer you to a blog post on my WordPress blog that directly talks about that. And the blog post is titled Remembering Why. I'll share the link with you. And you're welcome to share it with your readers and listeners if you'd like to share readers. I suppose you have a newsletter as well, so it counts. But I wrote this blog post in July of 2016. And it was a time in my life where I was freelancing. I was also running another business, and I was also working in a third business. And I had some really bad, I wouldn't say it was burnout. Maybe it was burnout. Just I overworked myself. I just was doing too much to try and achieve a certain thing. And at the time, Jocko Willink was sort of quite popular.
Yeah.
And he just released his book, his leadership book. And there was that video where he talks about the title of the video was good. You know, he talks about it, one of his soldiers coming to him and saying, this has happened. And he goes, good. What can we learn from it?
Yeah.
And then he talks about when things go wrong. He talks about, you know, get up, dust off, reload, recalibrate, re-engage, and go on the attack. And I realized in that post that I am not the best developer in the world. I am not an amazing freelancer either. But what I really enjoy doing, what sparks joy for me, is sharing my limited knowledge with somebody else and seeing them succeed through that process and taking that on to greater and greater heights. As a parent, the highlights of my life will be one day to see my children exceed everything that I've achieved tenfold because of lessons that they've learned, hopefully from myself and from my wife. And so that was the realization that I came to that day, is that I enjoy teaching and mentoring more than I enjoy building software or building products. And so at that point, I went on a journey of how do I transition? How do I move into the space?
Yep.
And the concept of DevRel was starting to take shape around about that time. And so I ended up focusing on how do I move into a space where I am teaching others how to do things. And now I get to teach others how to do things every single day. I get to do live streams. I get to do workshops. I get to have one-on-one conversations with folks. I get to meet with folks. You may have heard recently that Matt was talking about the three cards that we have as automaticians,
yep.
The help, the host, be the host, and neutral. Our division is very much in the help the hosts card. So I want every single WordPress out there, whether you're hosted on Hostinger, Bluehost, Dreamhost, wherever, to be successful, whatever that takes.
Yep.
And if I can do that, that sparks joy in me. And so now I get to do that every single day. I get to wake up and help people find answers, help put out content that helps them find solutions, helps them expand their knowledge, expand their development experience, their testing, their debugging, their whatever the case may be, advance themselves, get better jobs, earn more money, live more balanced lives. All of the things.
That resonates hard with me, especially the part about your kids where you translate it into what it actually means. My kids, certainly the eldest two, have for the longest time thought that I happen to be one of those people that just remembers a lot of stuff and can regurgitate it relatively easy at random times or random topics. So they're always like, you know, we'll never be able to know it as well as you do. But they have surpassed me on so many topics in so many ways. And the only thing that I get true joy out of it, that I get to say, look at what you know, what I don't know. Mm. Like I've known, and yet you are not only good at it, you master it. Like, have you even realized what you have done? That little thing, that resonates hard for me. But the whole, where the sparks come from, where the enjoyment of part of the work is, which is, again, for me, a large reason why I pivoted into having a newsletter, having a podcast on my courses. Yeah. I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight, the goals and the ideas that are happening behind the scenes at Learn WordPress. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Jonathan.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure thing.